is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom, where we believe that God wants total well-being for all children, our children and us as a child of God. And we're talking about depression in this little series. And last time, we busted the myths. Please, please, please hear that first. And today, I'm going to talk about basic things to check. Now, this is true. You should start here, always. So I believe in a good protocol, always do the mom level. Be sure that things are going healthy, then seek for ideas, and then seek professional help. And there should always be this kind of progression, that we should never pull out the big guns of allopathic medicine until we have done the basic things of mom level, okay? And then there may be wellness professional level before we get into things like, in this case, psychotropic drugs, because we know that there are difficulties in side effects, and we know that the doctors in our current system don't have hours and hours to talk with us about lifestyle, and we know this is all basic. Even the doctors know this today. So we also, I think, should be agreed upon, self-talk is a real issue, self-management is real issue and should be a primary fundamental part of our self-management, so that we don't get into big problems in life, and always as the first response to ongoing sadness, discouragement, and the temptation to depression. And even if we know that we are one of those very few people who were born with some sort of chemical imbalance, and we've agreed with the doctors that we need to take our psychotropic drugs, we still need good self-management. Okay, so where shall I start? I think from the spiritual perspective, we need to stop feeding demons. We've talked about why it's so important not to embrace the common myths. And I think it's because we feed flesh, we encourage bad or lack of self-management, and we can call that feeding demons. Bad self-talk. We need to have a realistic perspective, and when we are in this depression or pre-depression phase, we're looking at the negative side. And it is important to have a balanced view of reality. If you're a salesperson, studies show, have a sunny outlook and you'll make more sales. However, positive thinking doesn't work very well in the C-suites. You have to, at some point, recognize what the downfalls are so that you can not fall into them. And so a balanced view. But when we are in deep difficulties, we tend to think about only the negative, and it is at that point when thinking about only the positive would be helpful. So take a rational view of this and be realistic or more positive, because there are many things you cannot control. That's realistic. But there are some things you can control, and so control those. And one is your thinking, and one is how you talk to yourself. So one, don't permit yourself to be all gloomy and seeing the negative. And that's going to take discipline, because you want to do that. Your whole system is going that way. And you, your social surroundings, and literally your spiritual surroundings can be doing that. So you have to have the strength of discipline of doing the opposite. And we're going to talk about some spiritual techniques, but you probably know. Count your blessings. Talk about what's good, go around, be around somebody who is cheerful, and do something useful. There is a scripture that says, there is profit in all hard work. I've never heard anybody else quote that, but look, if you are doing something, then you're not laying around and feeding demons. So look, maybe your life is terrible. There's probably somebody who's worse off than you. And you can offer something to that someone. Maybe it's a smile. Brighten their day with a smile. Maybe you are laying in a hospital bed, you will never get up. But the nurse coming into your room is struggling with her kid. You can offer a smile and some encouragement to her. Okay? And you're probably not that bad off. And maybe your finances are just not good, but you know what? You live in a free and developed country, and you're not starving to death. So be thankful for what you do have and do something. Do something useful. If you have to get your food at a food pantry, you know what? You could sweep the floor for them at the end of the day. So do something useful for someone else. So rule one, don't permit your mind to just to go in an ever lower vortex. Stop it. Say, this thought does not serve me well, and put it aside. And then fill your mind with good things. And if you don't have anything good, you can at least fill your mind with the love of God. Quote scriptures. Take hold of your mind. Second, take hold of your actions. Do something. Do something good for someone else. Be grateful and do something. Okay. Check what's going on in your life that you can control. Maybe you need to eat better. You know, it's amazing how if you eat sugar, it'll bring you up and whap you down. Caffeine may be that way for you. Carbohydrates, there's all kinds of food myths. Just do some testing on yourself. What really works for you? Maybe you believe in a vegetarian diet, but the core meal that you got is all moldy and you didn't recognize that. But every time you eat the core meal, you feel jittery. Well, bingo, don't eat that core meal anymore. Put it in the compost pile. So you do what works for you. Eat better. You know, there is good information out, and we've given it and we've had some guests on it. So there is some really stupid thinking out there. So use some smart common sense. Don't have the standard American diet where you're eating all processed foods. We know better than that. You know you need some vegetables. You know you need some protein. Get it done. I just hear people say, well, there's nothing that can be done. Well, you know that's not true. That's a stupid myth. Bust that. There are some things you can do. All right. Get outside into the sunlight. Maybe you don't have money for a Juve. You don't even know what I'm talking about. So the millionaires these days are buying a product called Juve, and it's introducing red light at a certain spectrum. So they're sticking them in their bathrooms, and when they get out of the shower, they're giving themselves a sunlight bath because they know they are working in front of screens and there's blue light coming out of the screens. Well, you can adjust your screens to be warmer, but still, that's not like being in the sun. So I recommend, if you're feeling so terrible you can't do anything, get up and go for a walk in the sunlight. Yes. And probably most of us need a little bit more exercise. Doesn't mean you have to go to a gym, although a gym might be great fun for you, but walking, exercising with the television, do something. Okay? If you are whining because nobody loves you, A, that's probably not true, but B, how about you loving somebody else? And if things are not going well, maybe you could increase your social skills. Now, the truth is that people are not always going to treat you well. If you were perfect, people wouldn't always treat you well. Witness Jesus. He was not always liked and was, in fact, killed. So there is such a thing as persecution. Don't expect everybody to like it. That's not going to happen. And you know very well, you get 10 people who are decent to you, and then you get the one person who's ugly. Just don't focus, don't perseverate, keep thinking about the one who is ugly. Okay? So think about the ones who are good and increase those. Be around those people more. Go to more clubs and so forth. if your workplace is hostile, just work toward changing your job. If your church is hostile, switch churches or Sunday school classes. And don't you be the one who is ugly. Don't you be the one who is creating that. And really, there is so much of that. So many people are churning up these myths about, now there is discrimination, but they're churning up myths of resentment and microaggressions when in fact they act ugly, and so they get ugly responses. A lot of what is classified as discrimination is really the reasonable and expectable result of acting ugly. So everyone can improve their social skills. So work on improving your social skills. And even if people are acting ugly to you, unfairly, you can still learn to practice better social skills, better and better and better and better. Okay? So control what you can control. But really, let's be realistic. Most people have not been taught a lot about etiquette, and that's more true the younger you go because parents have been working. And so if you have no clue how to behave, and you think you're being polite, but in fact you're being fresh, and people are not acting right to you, try doing something different. Okay? If you think all of our customers are just ugly, you know what? Maybe it's because you are not giving them the customer service up to the standard they expect. Newsflash. You know what? Most of the causation of your reality is you. So improve your social skills. And then reach out. Reach out to other people. So many people who are depressed are in their houses thinking about how ugly everything is and how ugly everybody is. Well, in fact, the world is in a big mess. How about praying for it? And if you understand that we are trundling toward the tribulation, you also know that we're trundling toward the coming back of the Lord. You know that the wheat and the tares grow together. So maybe you should work with the tares. And if you are really just, if you're just really injured, maybe you need some healing time. Okay? But don't just stay in your little house unless you're sleeping. Okay, if you really need physical healing, go to bed and sleep. We don't sleep enough in our society. We really don't, because the light's on all the time and we just go, 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 and you get tired. And if you get too tired, you will get depressed, discouraged, frustrated. This will happen, right? And seems like nobody talks about it. So check yourself. Do the physical things right. Do the social things right. Do the mental things right. Boho! All of this is simple common sense, but that's not what you're told. You're told, don't be too hard on yourself. And so then you don't ever improve. It says, well, people are judgmental, and therefore you insulate yourself from what the standards are, let alone what the good ideas are. Right? Don't do this. And people say, go take some psychotropic drugs. And then you end up hooked on a cocktail of drugs, whacked out, and no wonder you've got problems in your life. Okay? Same with your kids. Maybe this kid has a physiological learning problem. I get that. Then work on the problem. Maybe the school system is not coming up to reasonable legal standards. Oh, newsflash. I've never once seen a school system comply with the law. No, really. When I've been the customer, the parent, the grandparent, never once have I seen the school system comply with the law. They've always been below even that level. So you're just going to have to work on it. You're going to have to decide what's the best strategy. Take them out, buy something else, fight with them. You have to make a reasonable decision. And then go forward with hope and faith. But don't sit around on your pity pot. Now, I got that saying from a preacher in San Antonio named John Hagee. And he says, well, just get off your pity pot. And there was a time in my life that I would just listen to John Hagee. And I think it was providential because I needed to get off my pity pot. You know what? I really was discriminated against. No. Well, yes, I suffered discrimination. But actually, the word I meant to say is I was persecuted. I had done the right thing with good skills and got negative rewards for it. And I was hurt. And that had happened more than once. But you know what? Laying in bed, perseverating about it, and complaining to God doesn't help the situation. So it's time to get off your pity pot. And there will be times that you will have to, with discipline, stop crying. And there will be times with discipline when you want to complain to God that you will praise God instead. Why? Because that's what's useful. So it is possible to complain to God. God does permit that. And it is better that you go and be honest with God than that you stay away from God. Just like a child coming to their parent. It is appropriate sometime to go and sit in the parent's lap and to cry and to complain. And there is even a verse that says, Lord, let my complaint come before you. There is a good and proper time for that, for tears and for complaints. However, that time is a limited and finite time. Don't stay stuck in there. Get beyond that. So physical, mental, social, and spiritual. The spiritual. So often our society has ceded the territory that was once the property of the clergy and the spiritual to professions that purport to be scientific. And nowhere is this more true than in self-management. So the churches are putting on little happy shows and the psychologists are telling us nonsense. So let's embark on some good spirituality. Oh, there's one myth that I want to bust, and that's activism. So go and do something and be sure that something is useful. And I'll come back to spiritual in a moment. Much activism is deceptive. So yes, you need to work on your problems first and your children's problems first. And when you are a parent of a learning disabled child, activism can be a distraction, even a detriment. So my experience is that if you advocate for your child may be targeted and get recriminations from it, even when you are simply doing something polite and legal. Just simply that. So you have to be very careful. If you're in a system, how you're going to advocate for your children, let alone be an activist. There is a time for activism. But if you have to be sure that you are in a spot where you're not going to endanger your child and do your activism in a different place, in a different way, in a different time. And when you're a grandmother, you might be able to partner with your daughter and be an activist. I was president of the South Plains Learning Disabilities Association. And I discovered it was taking a lot of time, but I could not have done that had my daughter been in public school at the time. It was only because I was homeschooling her that I felt safe to do that. And I feel that I was able to encourage many mothers. And so that was useful. But had I sallied forth with the frustration, the legitimate frustration against school systems in the area that were clearly violating the law and still are 20 years hence, I probably would have hurt myself and my daughter and my health, you know. Some activism is very useful. So joining an association where there can be good leadership and good funding and good negotiation and good diplomacy, yes. But there's also some activism and even some associations that are very counterproductive. So look to see if that activism is really having a good result, or if it is only making you unhappy, only taking your time, only taking your money, and feeding hate. Or if it is, yes, you make some sacrifices, but it's actually helping somebody, it's actually moving the system forward. So I strongly recommend that you look at that. And even if you're in a good organization, you can take the slogans wrong to where they only inflame your unhappiness. And if you are only inflaming your unhappiness, just stop that. I very much worry about Facebook and social media. There's lots of statistics that show that this increases people's depression. In fact, there's rules and laws against social media participation for young people in some Asian countries because they've seen these statistics. So people post on Facebook and other social media, they post their triumphs, but that's not the whole of their life. And so if you are looking only at people's triumphs, and then people also post things they care about, and typically often without the kind of wisdom that they would use, were they in conversation in a circle of people in a room? And then, of course, there's people who act badly. And so it is a temptation. You want to put LD slogans on Facebook, but in fact, what you're doing is inflaming your own depression. You're not informing anyone. You're not changing anyone's mind. You are not doing anything. You may be advertising that you're off kilter. So please, 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 please work on your problems rather than advertise them. If you are in an association, serve. And if you can help your friend return to balance, okay? So maybe you are the head of the State Learning Disabilities Association, and you or your lawyer can place a pleasant and diplomatic call that stops a school system from doing something illegal in their tracks, then hallelujah! Or if you can talk to your legislatures and make better laws, hallelujah! But simply acting in ways that are odious to people and getting them to associate bad behavior with learning disabilities is not effective, right? So be very careful about your activism, and don't let it ruin your life. Be sure that when you sacrifice yourself for activism, that it's a helpful activism. Ask me how I know. Okay, so I've given you a number of helpful hints, I think, in terms of facing sadness, discouragement, temptation to depression, and even depression, because we always have to self-manage. Yes, life will throw curveballs, and nowhere is it more discouraging, I think, than to an LD child, because they're very tempted to think it's their fault, but it is their problem. So let's work on problems without discouraging ourselves to saying nothing can be done, I'm just a shit, I'm stupid. And you see, it's these very children, the ones who are getting the LD diagnosis, who are bright enough to know that life is hard for them and they are not able to do things easily as other people. They know that they're not coming up to standards, otherwise they wouldn't have been identified as LD. And of course there are probably many, many people who really have learning disabilities, but they just have enough other compensatory skills that they can do well in school. Ask me how I know. So it doesn't matter how unfair the situation is. It doesn't matter how ongoing it is. It doesn't matter how sad you feel about it. At a certain point, you have to get up and manage yourself. Manage your physical, your mental, your social. Manage your actions. Manage the whole situation. And spiritual will definitely come into that. And I want to devote a whole episode to that. So, yes, pray. Yes, read your scriptures. Yes, have good relationship with a perfect parent who will guide you into all truth and who does want the best for you, who does have healing power, miracle power, but also just strengthening power. All right? Please let me remind you that we have a lot of resources for you. First, let me mention my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. This covers soup to nuts, helps you be sure you cover everything in your child's education, including it helps you pick curricula. And you can get that book by going to the website and clicking through, or you can go directly to www.lulu.com. Also, I have a series about ADHD, and let's run a special for this month, January 2019, for $10. Just write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Please come to the website, greatshalom.org. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Please share. Thanks so much. So this is Sharon Sarles saying that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.